Officials from Brussels were here recently enjoying that lazy, hazy September weather, while also hearing arguments for retaining the derogation that allows some farmers to spread larger amounts of manure than everyone else. All the political parties, the farming organisations and the dairy industry are agreed that losing this derogation would be ruinous. But water quality in many rivers, lakes and estuaries has not improved as much as we promised it would when we got that derogation. So it is a rock and a hard place situation that has left a massive question mark hanging over both dairy farming and nature restoration. So this morning, following that official visit in the last week, we are going to take a look at two things. What way might the Commission be leaning on the derogation, and what impact would it have if it were to go? Food and farming freelance journalist Natasha Foote has spent the week having hushed conversations in corners with officials all over Brussels on behalf of Countrywide. She joins me on the line now. Natasha, there's two things to consider here. The Commission says that it's going to be guided by the science in its decision, but there's obviously an awful lot of politics at play here too. So let's consider the politics first, will we? New Commission, new Commissioner, new set of political priorities for the Commission. How might they favour Ireland getting a new derogation?
Yeah, it's a big question. Absolutely, as you say, Brussels is sat at the start of a new five-year political cycle, and this transition period is always a bit odd. There's always a lot of things up in the air. Definitely a moment of politics rather than policy. But we're starting to see the shape and the tone of the next mandate. We're getting a clearer idea of the flavour of the next 5 years. So firstly, you know, von der Leyen's priorities this time around is really focused on competitiveness. So that's really the name of the game here. And so, you know, while in the last mandate, it was all about the Green Deal, that was really the flagship of the last mandate, that's much less in vogue. It's still there in the background, but it's got a much less prominent role. So already, I think that the framing of the next 5 years going forward, you know, it tells you a lot there.
The phrase that we hear repeatedly now is clean, not green, as being the new tone and tenor of this commission. So in that context, talk to me about the commissioner who, pending their approval by the parliament, is going to be responsible for the derogation. Jessica Rosswall from Sweden.
Yes, this is a Swedish pick for the commissioner. It's been a bit of a controversial pick, especially from the environmentalist side. The proponents of the Green Deal are a bit concerned here that she might not approach the Green Deal with much enthusiasm, pointing to the Swedish government's track record on the environment. But just important to say, I think there's a few things here that are really important when it comes to this commissioner designate. Number one, to say that she is the EU commissioner, not the Swedish representative. She's not representing Sweden. You know, of course, that the national countries always have a little bit of a sway on their commissioner, but she's really there to deliver on von der Leyen's priorities for the commission. I do think it's notable that the new title of the environment commissioner has a specific mention to water. So it's the Commissioner for Environment, Water Resilience and Competitive Circular Economy. I think it's very notable that that was chosen there. And also, as you said, I mean, she still has to jump through the hoops in the parliament. So she's the commissioner designate. It's not a done deal yet. So all the commissioners are subject to a grilling in the parliament. I think she'll have a tough time facing the parliament whenever the hearing
but
comes.
But assuming she does end up getting approved, does it open the door to a political decision being made here, just a little bit wider, rather than one that would be guided solely by the science?
You could say, I mean, it's a bit speculative, obviously, it remains to be seen. But I mean, I think you could say that in general, she might be more open to that, given her background.
As we say, if the decision was to be made based on politics alone, the Irish government might be right in thinking that they have a bit of a shout now at retaining the derogation. But the decision is also going to be influenced by the science and the advice of officials, particularly those in Jessica Rosswall's directorate, DG Environment. What are you hearing from those officials and from within DG Envy?
Well, it's obviously a politically salient, very sensitive issue. So the Commission is keeping quite quiet about this. It's quite difficult to get a peep out of them. But so on the record, I was chasing them all week. The Commission didn't comment on this. But I've been talking to a lot of institutional sources, as you said, that told me, you know, that in general, patience is wearing quite thin with the derogation. So one Commission source said that that DGMV seems quite clear-cut about wanting to bring the derogation to an end, that many in the environmental side of the Commission think there's been enough time for the transition. There's some frustration there. It's also true that you mentioned, you know, there's been a few developments in the past few weeks. This trip to Ireland that you already spoken about, with the Commission coming over to Ireland to see the situation there, and also this water quality plan, this new plan from Ireland, basically a bit of a trade-off, a plea deal, if you like, trying to say that if Ireland works on water mm-hmm. quality and pumps the resources and investments there, that they might be able to trade that off for an extension of the derogation.
I asked the Commission for a statement on this, and specifically DGNV. It was very, very short. It didn't say very much, but there was one very pointed line in it. The European Commission reiterates the importance of implementing the Nitrates Directive to achieve good water quality status in Ireland by 2027. Do you think that's another way of saying there are rules and Ireland can't keep on expecting to be an exception to them?
I think that is the feel in general. I mean, I think if I had to sum it up, I would say that Ireland's hanging on a bit by its fingertips to the derogation, might just about scrape another few years, but it really hinges on proving that water quality has improved. So I think there has to be some tangible, observable improvement in water quality.
Stay with us, Natasha. I want to hear from somebody at the coalface, because this is, of course, the uncertainty that dairy farmers are operating within. Invest in water quality and the derogation might be lost anyway, losing you a lot of money. Don't invest in water quality and you will almost certainly lose the derogation permanently. Quite the catch-22. Donal Kavanagh is a dairy farmer we've spoken to on Countrywide before. He milks 200 cows on the South Kildare-Wicklow border. Donal has invested hundreds of thousands of euros in decreasing his farm's impact on water quality. But even with that investment, were Ireland to lose the derogation, Donal told me, there would be a major question mark over the viability of the family business.
Enough room up here for the two of us. Oh, there is.
Donal's slurry tank is big. The top of the ladder is 5 metres, 16 feet high. It's 25 metres wide.
500,000 gallons.
As the cows spend the winter indoors, this tank will gradually fill up.
So this gives us great comfort that we can store all the winter storage and make, I suppose, good decisions then when the growth comes back.
A 500,000 gallons of slurry storage here, plus another tank in another yard, means that Donal has, barring an exceptionally long winter, a third more capacity than he should need for his 200 cows, which means he will only have to spread slurry when he is sure that grass is growing and the nitrates will be taken up and not run off into the watercourses.
Last winter, how full was it? Where was it up
full to the brim. We couldn't hold anymore.
But for others to do now to try and save the derogation, what Donal has already done, would be a very big investment in an uncertain future.
This tank, I would say, would cost about 150,000 at the very least, in today's terms.
That's not a decision that you're going to make, is it, if you don't know what the future of the derogation is?
Absolutely not. No. Because it's a big commitment. It'd be very hard to make a decision like that long term.
If, like Donal, your farm is in derogation, you're allowed to spread slurry at 220 kilos of nitrogen per hectare. If Ireland loses the derogation, that figure would drop to 170 kilos, a reduction of nearly a quarter. A quarter less slurry means a quarter less cows or a lot more land.
What happens if the derogation goes to this business?
For me there, I've two working units, including myself here at the minute, and we work very well. I can get a day off My workman can get his weekends, I can get weekends. If that derogation went straight away, is it viable for two units anymore? It's very hard to get good labour, and at the moment I have good labour. So all that would be up in the air.
If you had to lose 25% of the herd, that's 50 cows in your case, is this viable any longer?
That would be a big worry to me and the business. Like, you know, do I want my kids, whether it's my daughter or my son, to take on a business that's, you know, you have to work 7 days a week? There's an awful lot of young people walking away from the business at the minute, and it's, you know, we're trying to encourage them into it. And this wouldn't be something now that I'd be very worried about the business going forward.
Would it have been better if we'd been having this conversation 5 or 10 years ago, or even at around about the time the quota was lifted?
It's 5 years ago that this problem was there. It was never addressed. Politicians never addressed it. It was a bit like a poison chalice. It's now it's critical, and it's been addressed at the last minute.
As Donald leaves the cows out after morning milking, he reflects that if the derogation goes, he is within 5 to 10 years of retiring, so he will probably push on with less labour, less cows and less profit. But for a younger man, it would be a very different calculation.
I'd be worried about the young person coming in to taking on the business at that place. You know, there's a lot of challenges out there already, and something like this doesn't help.
So let me ask you that as a hypothetical then. If you were 25 or 30 years of age and the derogation goes and you're looking at having to buy another 50 acres of land at 25 or 30 grand an acre, is that a kind of a deal breaker? Does it just not make any sense at that point?
I think you'd have to love the business to stick with it. And for me, I always loved the business, so
well,
it was never a problem.
You all love the business and you don't keep on throwing good money after bad to keep in it, won't you?
Well, sure, you know, we grew up with it. It grew up as a way of life. You know, we didn't, maybe choices were a bit different that time. There wasn't that much employment and all when I was growing up and all. You know, and it was a good business to be in. Today, there's an awful lot of businesses out there and there's very good opportunities.
There's better businesses than this, perhaps?
A lot of opportunities, jobs, you know, lifestyle, everything else. And for rural areas, it's going to be a disaster.
Recently, his farm was used as a demonstration farm for water quality improvements. It gave him an opportunity to talk to a lot of other farmers about how they'd cope if the derogation goes.
We set it up thinking maybe 100, maybe 150 max would come. And over 300 people turned up that day, which was unbelievable.
Okay, that is quite impressive, isn't it? But with the best will in the world, if they all decided to do something tomorrow, they're not going to turn it around in time to save this derogation necessarily, are they?
No, they're not. It's going to take a bit of time. This thing happened over time and it's going to take time to fix it.
And what were they saying, or have they even begun to contemplate the derogation going?
Well, they're very aware of it for their business, because it just changes the whole dynamic of the business. And to add this into the mix as well, it could be the breaker for a lot of people.
Donald Kavanagh there, just outside Bolton Glass. Natasha Foote is still with us. Natasha, you heard Donald saying there diplomatically that it would have been a lot better had the Irish government dealt with this before it became a crisis. As you reverted to briefly there, the Taoiseach's suggested way out of this crisis might be to throw some of the 14 billion euro tax windfall at it. Again, can you give us a little bit more detail on how officials responded to that idea?
Yeah, I mean, there's been no, I don't think there's been an official response to it for the moment. But like I said, I mean, I think that throwing this kind of money towards this is a positive thing, because as I said, I think the only way to hang on to this derogation is if there's some tangible improvements in water quality. I suppose the thing is that has to translate into actual demonstrable water quality improvements. So even if you're putting, you know, big amounts of money on this, advisors throwing everything you've got at it, on the other side, it has to actually translate into something tangible, into water quality improvements in order to hang on to this.
At the outset, I kind of pitched this as a case of politics versus science, with one or the other. But would it be unwise to rule out what you seem to be suggesting there, a kind of an artful hybrid combination of the two?
I suppose that's always what you're hoping for, isn't it, in situations like this, some kind of compromise between science and politics. But as they say in Brussels, a good compromise is one where everyone is unhappy. Let's see how it goes for the future. It is a very politically charged subject, so it's difficult to say where the compromise will lie for the moment.
Natasha Foote in Brussels, thank you very much.